Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ford Midwest Guys Presents Gotham Watch. Today we'll be reviewing The Mad Grey Dawn. With me today is Mr. Brian Eckenbauer.
What's up, what's up?
How's it going, B?
Going good.
Good. And my brother Aaron's back.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, man. You're coming like a regular on the show now.
It's great. Yeah. It's become more likely or more common.
Cool. Excellent. Well, welcome aboard. All right, guys. So let's get into The Mad Grey Dawn. Basically, this is kind of like Riddler's coming out episode, almost, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Or at least like a version of it.
It's slowly building up.
Slowly building to that.
It's definitely progressed into his next stage. I wouldn't say he's quite the Riddler yet.
No, but he's close.
But he is definitely coming to form with all the clues and everything else. Yeah. And one leads into the other, and then you don't realize his bigger plan. Until later in the episode.
He's clearly developing his style of how he wants to go about and how he, you know, goes executing his, you know, plans.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, and it actually worked out rather well. I was actually surprised, like, with the ending on this.
Oh, yeah. I thought he did really well in this episode.
Yeah, just how, you know, again, the riddles, the master plan, the, you know, everything just laid out perfectly. X, Y, and Z, and ABC and X, Y, and Z. So.
I mean, one complaint you can make of it, there's a clear timing thing that he would have had down crucially in order for this plan to really work the way it did.
Well, he's meticulous, though, so I guess I bought into it pretty easily.
Yeah.
Because of how meticulous he is and how they built it up in the previous episode of how it was him against Gordon, and he built up all this stuff in his head.
Yeah, in his head, it was this giant thing.
Right,
and
right. So yeah. He had to create this perfect master plan,
right,
so to speak. Getting into that, we see Gordon. He sets up Gordon. How'd you guys like how he mastered the plan? I mean, how he first kind of he creates the whole bombing thing, and then he's able to use that.
He does the art heist into the bombing, mm-hmm. and then he uses the crowbar, and then it goes into setting him up with the anonymous tip on opening the investigation, mm-hmm. which we were talking about that, I think, on the last episode. It was like, why is it going that direction? Like, we just closed this, like, a, you know, episode ago, and it actually opened it up and, you know, changed it pretty well.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about it was how quick his captain turned on him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was instantaneous. Like, all of a sudden, it was like, you know, Gordon's there looking at the body, and he's like, oh, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, the captain's like, he pulled his gun instantly.
Well, he was going into a building where he thought one of his, you know,
he came over to his apartment. Mm-hmm. He knew he lived there, but Gordon didn't. Mm-hmm. And he walks in. Neither one of them had their gun pulled at first. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the captain just pulled his gun on him, like, freeze. Like, well, hold on a second.
Well, to be fair, I mean, the captain's had his suspicions, and then supposedly whoever the cop was that got killed, I can't remember his name.
Well, I know who you're talking
but
about.
But he was supposed to give this evidence, or at least it was set up
for him
to believe.
Yeah, he said, I want to come over and talk to me so I can talk about Gordon.
About mm-hmm. Gordon. And
that's the other thing, is like, this the captain, mm-hmm. it's almost as if he's out for Gordon, and I don't think it's how they're going to play it out, but it's almost as if he's worried that Gordon's going to take his job.
It could be that, or that he sees something he's done in the past, because he's apparently crossed the line in the past. He's kind of alluded to that.
Well, he said he put his gun in somebody's mouth and shot it.
Yeah.
Right. So I think he's using that, and that's why he's so motivated to find out what's going on with Gordon.
Well, that, I mean, he is suspicious of, you know, Jim from the killing of, God, I can't even think
Galavan.
Of
his,
Galavan, yeah. Which, I mean, he technically did do, so it is something.
Right, I mean, but it just seems like he's very quick on the draw to just...
Yeah.
And that brings me to the next point. So Gordon gets locked up here. Did any of you guys see this coming into the episode? I didn't. I mean,
that Gordon was going to get locked up?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, yeah, because I saw the preview for next week.
Okay, but I guess I expected didn't. Maybe two or three episodes, but I mean, it was like bing bang.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a slower arc rather than just, you know, cop to prisoner, single episode. But yeah, like if you look at like how well it did it, like it didn't even really go through the trial of it. Like it goes all the way to just sending him all the way to Blackgate. Like
in the same episode, skipped everything, and all you see is him coming out from trial.
Mm-hmm.
Like down the steps and handcuffs, being thrown away to jail. There was no the jury or anything else finding. They just completely skipped all of that part.
Yeah, like it doesn't even really show like what the time gap is there. Like you assume it's at least 6 months or so, but it's really hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so also in this episode, we saw Penguin finally meets his father in a strange way. Well, actually, before that, let's talk about Penguin's programming. So Penguin is released, goes back to Butch and says, "I'm a changed man." He goes back to Nygma and says, "I'm a changed man, and you shouldn't do these evil things." And
blah, I actually blah, blah, thought blah. His interaction with Nygma was funny because he's like tarred and feathered, and Nygma's just like, "What happened to you? You know what? I'm actually in a good place, so I don't want to hear about you finding, you know,
I'm peace my or stride sanity." Right now, yeah. Becoming the Riddler.
Well, yeah, he's like, "Wait, you're not evil anymore? You're going to have to ask you to go ahead and go."
You're kind of creeping me out.
Yeah, because he knew that the Penguin possibly could turn him in, because he knows stuff, and he's like, "If you're going good..."
Yeah, I think you're kind of creeping me out, so...
Yeah.
He just slams the door, he's just standing there.
Just standing there, so smiles.
Looking like a homeless guy.
No, admittedly, in the actor playing Penguin is actually doing a really good job for this episode, just because I found just his interaction with people really amusing throughout this entire thing.
Yeah, because he brought Butch a cupcake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, you know, like this whole...
There's a lot of references to cupcake in Gotham in the last couple episodes.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I didn't think about that till just now. So Penguin, obviously Penguin's gone through all this, and then he ends up at his mother's grave, tarred and feathered and kicked out from Nygma, and he's approached by Pee-wee Herman, a.k.a. his father.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or better known as Paul Rubens. What do you guys think of his father in this episode? And
I actually thought that he did a really good job, played it really well. Like, he was like, "She never told me she had a son." You know, I just... What was she, the maid?
She was the cook.
She was the cook for my family, mm-hmm. and they sent her away?
Yeah, they sent her away.
They sent her away
to help support her if she decided not to ever come back.
You know what's funny is that sounds very familiar to Arrow. I don't know if you've seen that episode of Arrow, mm-hmm. but Oliver Queen's mom sends away the girl who is pregnant with Oliver's child, pays her $1 million.
Interesting.
To go away.
So more or less, it's a very common, like,
comic book. I guess it's a common, it's a common theme. It's like, "Oh, you're pregnant, we'll pay you $1 million to go away and come back another episode."
What do you think of
It's a very nice plot device.
What do you think of Paul Rubens there?
I think if you look at, like, the scene in the graveyard, it's kind of rushing the development of, you know, that, mm-hmm. "Oh, I never knew" sort of thing. Like, at the same time, I actually think he did a good job. And I mean, it was a good week for Rubens. I mean, his Pee-wee's Playhouse thing came out last weekend, too.
Back.
So,
So, is it just me, or was his character overly eager to figure things out? Like, because he'd lost the love of his life, and then he's there, and all of a sudden he's putting the stuff together in his head.
It did seem like
how old are you? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it did seem like he was reaching, and I don't know if it's because he thinks now he has a blood relative, and that's how the other people have come into his life. And, you know, and he's like, "I want kids" or whatever, and he usually brings in the other people. But now he thinks he has a blood relative, and he's like, "Oh, blood relative, I'll bring him in." And
well, it could just be the writing on this was trying to kind of go through.
Speed along the process.
I mean, especially since we had just a six-month time gap at the end of this episode. And it looks like they're looking to kill him off within the next two or three.
Well, the other thing that's, and getting back to this character, so I wonder if the kids are not his.
Yeah, they're stepkids.
They're stepkids and not his actual children.
Yeah.
Then. Well, yeah, he already said they're not blood relatives.
Oh, okay, so.
So they're probably his ex-wife's kids.
Previous marriage kind of thing. Yeah.
So now they're like, now everything's going to be Penguin's and not ours.
Right. So the game is on.
Yeah.
There.
Well, if it goes through the whole bloodline thing, you think even just with the stepkids, you'd still kind of split stuff, but that makes it far, far less dramatic.
Well, you know, it's like not with DC.
Yeah.
Like for real life, yes. But for DC, yeah. It's almost like an instant cutout. Like, you're not blood relatives, you're out.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's just, it's one of those, it's a plot device in that regard.
Because they do it on, like, it's funny, because this, now we're, you know, we're talking about just this family dynamic, mm-hmm. is very much following Arrow, mm-hmm. because Oliver Queen's sister, Thea,
yeah.
is actually Malcolm Merlyn's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Because the mother had an affair. So it wasn't even, and there was that little split there, and DC has a lot of
likes to do the family drama.
Yeah,
well, interesting, very very interesting. So one other thing we saw in this episode, we actually finally get to see Bruce Wayne take a beating, like Batman, trying to be Batman.
Oh yeah, he did, and he said, I actually liked it because everything went away.
Yeah.
I didn't have to... I wasn't thinking about anything that's hurting me.
Yeah.
I was just focused on that. That was it.
I'm just in the moment. Like, this very zen-like... Well, at the same time, it's very sociopathic.
I was going to say, it's not very zen-like. It's very creepy.
No. I mean, what he's talking about is, like, just... I was just in the moment. I wasn't, you know...
Everything else faded away.
Nobody else can break me.
I'm not worried about the anxieties or the depression.
Everything else faded away. And I'm like...
Dude's in the pain.
Well, there was that part, but then just watching it, it was like that's got shades of Joker,
a little bit, yeah.
Like just like the, you know, you hit him and he's like, like, whoa, that's
yeah.
But he's messing with the guy the whole time, even while he's getting his butt kicked, because you know he hears Alfred's voice saying, "In order to take a big man down, you got to take a get the wind out.
You have to take a punch.
Yeah.
You just have to let him tire himself out a little bit.
Yeah.
Right, but the only problem was he wasn't getting tired out.
He really wasn't.
He was not getting tired out, and he was enjoying it. He wasn't getting tired out until, Selena got fed up with it, and she distracted, and then all of a sudden Bruce was like, okay, boom, knock you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, by that point. But yeah, I mean, he was... The guy was getting into beating the hell out of Bruce.
Well, yeah, he was getting stitches there in the episode when they were back at Selena's place.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, like, one half of his face is all swollen.
But I kind of digged it. I thought it was cool. I thought, you know, the progression of Batman.
You like them beating up a little kid? Well, I'm just joking.
Actually, the little bastard had it coming. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. But,
I mean, different strokes.
It was kind of cool, though. I mean, it was good development for the Batman line. I'm liking...
Well, definitely
they're
trying
to do something more than being the helpless little kid.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, it did show the development of the character and how he is going to, you know, how he becomes the fighter, and that we see the Christian Bale episode, you know, movies, mm-hmm. when he takes off his armor and he's got bruises all over him, but he's not complaining about anything, and he's just...
Right.
You know, I mean, it's...
Like he just endures it.
Yeah.
And he keeps going.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, very cool. I liked it. I liked it a lot. So,
I mean, it does kind of cause into question, like, how they're going to run with the character further down the line. Like, because, I mean, he's kind of been somewhat non-emotional about the whole parents dying thing to begin with. And now you're kind of making him even come across, like, a little bit more sociopathic in some regards.
Up till this point, up till the second half of the season, of season two, it's pretty much been the progression of the villain. Mm-hmm. Building up the villains. And you just kind of have Bruce Wayne putting pieces together of trying to figure out who killed his father or his parents, you know, but we haven't seen them do much with
the development of Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne becoming Batman.
Yeah.
So I think that's what was lacking in the show, well, at least one of the things lacking in the show, other than some other
writing. I think that's why you like the whole Lucius Fox thing, because you're like,
yeah,
well, that's bringing it closer to Batman than what he is right now.
Right.
This actually does more for character for him, more so than actually gadgets or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would like to see Lucius Fox brought in now. Maybe not so much to do gadgets, but in the movies, Lucius Fox is kind of like his conscience in the Dark Knight series, in a way, in a little bit.
Mm.
Especially with the whole type in my name when you're done, you know, to destroy the listening device. He's always the...
Well, Lucius Fox is more the developer of his products.
Yeah.
And I think it was Lucius Fox's conscience... He wasn't acting as Bruce's conscience. It was just Lucius Fox is like, he's like, I have a line,
but I like that
I won't cross.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne knows that, and he's like, all right,
yeah.
When we're done with this, just type
your name.
Type your name, and we'll be done.
Okay. I just don't know. I kind of like having that I don't know, the one white light in the room. Because the series is pretty daggone dark.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, it definitely is dark.
Yeah.
No, I mean, even if before Bruce gets beat up, you kind of have, like, them showing Ivy again, and they have that whole mushroom trade.
We haven't talked about that yet, yeah.
This is pretty much the longest you've seen of Ivy talking.
Yeah, I kind of like that they brought her in, and she's growing magic mushrooms.
I thought that was actually a nice little touch. Like, that kind of works.
That's what she would be doing, right?
Yeah, like... Well, the first season she grows
12 different species that
she's like different strains.
She's created different strains. So it's like
that do different things.
She's getting her plant vibe on it already.
She's like, you know what? Actually, I wasn't really fond of how they were doing Ivy like in the first season, but I actually like that. That's an interesting development for her. Like that was kind
of
cool.
Well, it definitely pulls her into the villain side of things, where you know like the criminal aspect. Mm-hmm. She's actually growing the stuff that they're selling. She's not doing it herself.
Yeah.
But she's getting to that point. I'm sure it won't be much longer. Maybe, you know, next season when we get to see her again. But
it'll
be next season, and then all of a sudden she'll have new types of plants.
Start seeing vines growing. Mm-hmm.
You see her being like a major drug dealer.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a way to get her to start. Yeah, it would be a different twist if she got it.
Actually, it would kind of work for the criminal like aspect of it. I mean, she's not super powered in this. At least not yet.
Yeah, I thought it was a really clever way of using it, too.
Yeah, I actually thought that was a nice little twist. I was pretty fond of that.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, well, guys, let's just get right on into final thoughts. Mr. Brian Nickbauer, I'll give you the honor of the first final thoughts, sir.
All right, so this episode, I'm going to give it like a C+, B-. I'm really looking forward to this. It needs to pick up the pace. I mean, like we did have like a six-month time span, but that's not the kind of pace I'm talking about. I'm talking about like action, you know.
Well,
you know, they're hinting at Hugo Strange bringing back Galavan and the Joker and Fish and all that. It's like, come on already. Do something. Develop. I don't care. I'm glad we got to see the Batman, you know, like the first character development of, you know, I'm this rock. Nobody's going to break me. Mm-hmm. I like that aspect. But that also needs to pick up the pace.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we had talked about this before. I don't think we're going to see Batman in this Gotham series.
Yeah,
I think we will at the last episode.
I think we're going to get the Smallville.
Yeah, it's going to be Smallville version, but
and we're not going to get Batman.
You're not going to get the
cowl and we might get him using gadgets to fight crime in the last episode, but I don't think we're going to see the Bat Emblem, and really? I don't think we're going
to
see it.
To be honest, I actually don't think the show would work all that well if he did become Batman. You had like a season of him running around. Early stages. Like I think that would pretty much be the end of the show. Like,
that would be the series finale. You would see him in the full suit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they put him in, you know, a black t-shirt and, you know, or some sort of gear, but nothing.
Now, I know it doesn't follow. I know it doesn't follow the whole storyline of the comics.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's everything.
But I could actually see him portraying a like Nightwing type.
That's like a
younger version of Batman.
Yeah.
So you think you'll see him go through like the Robin phase, the Nightwing phase?
And no, that's what I'm saying. Not the Robin, because Robin was training behind Batman, but possibly a Nightwing phase, like a similar character to Batman, but not full on Batman.
Okay.
Although, you know, it wouldn't be a half bad idea. I don't know who he would train under, but if he had some sort of a crossover event with maybe even Arrow, I don't know if they would.
Well, you hear that, or they bring in, like, Ra's al Ghul, and he trains under
or something, yeah, where he has a little bit of a protege for a season or something. That would not a terrible idea, anyway.
No, I mean, you've kind of had him training under Alfred, but that's kind of an end so far, and...
Yeah.
I mean, sure, in this universe, Alfred's a bit more militaristic, but at the same time, there's limitations to what you can learn from your family butler.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I'll go to mine. Final thought, I guess. I'll give this one actually a B+, maybe even an A-, only because I really enjoyed the Riddler progression. I really liked seeing the Riddler pretty much coming to full form. You know, maybe not completely the Riddler yet, but really, really close shades of the Riddler. I like to call it Riddler 2.0 because we've seen 1.0 where his personality split. Now he's taking that next step and it's really putting thought into his plans and using riddles and whatnot. So overall, I love the Bruce Wayne, Selina. The Penguin thing with his family looks interesting. Not much to go on yet, but I was glad to see they're trying to do something to bring Penguin back from being Goody Two Shoes anyway. Penguin, which I don't really care for. So,
it's kind of amusing, but it's not something you want to keep for another season or so.
Yeah, but it was really good. The Riddler thing kind of sold me. I was just like, oh, that's cool. That's awesome. So that's kind of my final thought. Aaron, what's yours?
I'd give the episode a decent B. I mean, it had some decent character progress. It had some okay action. At the same time, though, it kind of feels like because they are being renewed for another season, like this, it's kind of just setting up for like the next season. Like, it's not really anything uber exciting happening for like the end of this season. It really does seem like it's really just kind of working to set up the next one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's doing okay. It has some decent action sequences, but I'm not really expecting much out of the rest of the season.
Okay, that's fair. So where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Well, you can reach us on iTunes by typing in the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can find us on Twitter at the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can now find us on a limited number of our podcasts are now on YouTube as well. We have our own YouTube channel, although we'll be posting that link probably directly because I've noticed you really have to type in everything, not just 4 Midwest Guys, but also like Gotham Watch in order to find our podcast that way. But so we'll try to look for a link to that off our Twitter site as well as our Facebook account.
Yeah.
Speaking of Facebook, you can find us on facebook.com/the number 4 Midwest Guys. Mr. Eckenbauer, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at AnkZone, AnkZone. Our Twitter quest 2016. I believe our main page is up to 850, mm-hmm. I believe. And mine's up to 1,800.
Cool.
So
we're progressing nicely.
Progressing nicely. So there's a bunch of you getting our messages out there.
Absolutely.
One little note on our feed. Feel free to like us on iTunes or share with friends that you think might enjoy the podcast as well.
It's a good point, yeah. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. Just make it awesome. All right. So and you can also reach us via email, number4midwestguys@gmail.com as well. All right, guys. Well, Mr. Brian Eckenbauer, thanks for joining us, sir.
As always, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. And my brother, Aaron, thanks for joining me.
Not a problem.
All right. We'll see you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.